News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
So stock markets have plunged in Asia as President Donald Trump's tariffs sent shockwaves around the world. The markets, of course, have now opened in Europe. And our business editor, Joe Lynham, is here just to tell us what's happening. Joe, how is it looking?
Red all across the board. When I last looked at the FTSE was down 3%. The IBEX in Spain was down 3%. Irish stocks way down. AIB down 6.2%. Ryanair down 6%. Glanbia down 4%. Individual stocks, Allianz, the insurance giant, down 13%.
Okay.
Siemens down 10%. The futures, as in what they think the markets will open up in the United States, they were down 3%, but there looks as if they're heading for an even bigger fall. The Nasdaq now is pointing at future market down 6%. This is a major sell-off, and this will be the third major sell-off back-to-back in trading sessions. I don't know how long that could continue without some sort of policy response. That means some sort of change of direction from Donald Trump and his team.
Two questions. Like, most of us don't watch the markets on a daily basis. I mean, how serious are these drops? I mean, are we in kind of Black Friday territory? Or are we still?
Absolutely.
We are.
Well, Black Monday in 1987 is the one that people are comparing them to. These are giant companies with solid balance sheets, really good sales, great customers, and a massive cash flow. And they're being written down 3 or 4 days in a row. I mean, Ryanair, as you know, is the most valuable airline in Europe and the most profitable airline in the world. And its shares are down 6%. I can just refresh it to see if it's changed in the last few minutes. These are definitely big share sell-offs.
You believe this could bring pressure to bear on the US administration?
At the moment, they're not moving one inch. They're talking about the patient taking the medicine. They're talking about having to go through a little bit of short-term pain in order to achieve long-term gain. I just don't see how a normal environment, a normal administration could ignore the kind of sell-offs and the messages that they're getting from the markets that they're currently getting for three straight days. These aren't just a little bit nudging downwards. These are huge sell-offs.
Okay, all right. Is this a normal administration, though, is the question. Jolan, we'll have more from you in around half an hour, but thanks indeed for that update. Now, as you would have heard in the news, the Taoiseach Simon Harris is today travelling to Luxembourg to take part in an extraordinary meeting of EU trade ministers. I caught up with him just before coming on air. I began by asking him what he's expecting and what he'll be saying at the meeting this morning.
Well, good morning, Shane. I think today is a very important opportunity for EU member states to come together for the first time since the series of significant announcements that have caused such global turbulence in the last number of days. I'll be making the point that everything we do has to be proportionate and it has to be with one simple aim in mind, which is to get the US administration to a negotiating table. So, of course, Europe needs to consider what leverage it has. And of course, it has quite a lot of leverage. There's 460 million people in our economic bloc. It's a large economic bloc. But everything we do needs to be balanced. Needs to be graduated, needs to be proportionate, because I think now more than ever is a time for calm heads.
Okay, so firm but proportionate. Does that mean there should be tariffs, but not too many or not too high? How do you quantify that?
I think it's a fair question. I think we have to remind ourselves of where we want to get to here. And where we want to get to is a good trading relationship between the EU and the US. And we don't want to be in a tariff environment. But obviously, Europe has to show a willingness to act should the Trump administration refuse to come to the negotiating table in a real and substantive way. Now, I think if you take stock of what's happened already, you've had three very serious announcements from the US. You had the steel and aluminium tariffs. The impact of that to the EU is about 25, 26 billion. You had the tariffs on cars. The impact of that is around 75 billion. And then you had the general, you know, the moment of chaos in the Rose Garden last week. And the impact of that is around 380 billion. Now, despite those three major provocations, you've heard time and time again from Europe one message: we want to negotiate, we want to talk. So in the first instance, I want to hear from the EU Trade Commissioner about his contact with the Commerce Secretary on Friday. I want to see his sense. He's a very experienced person, his sense in terms of the willingness of the US to sit down. And then I do think it's likely that in the coming days, the European Union will have to push ahead with with a response to the steel and aluminium tariffs at this stage. From an Irish perspective, I'm obviously concerned about the inclusion of the likes of bourbon on the list and the impact that that could have on our drinks industry, and we've made those views known too.
Okay, France wants to target digital services, and obviously that would be something we would be pushing back strongly against. Do you know where we're at in relation to that?
Yeah, so this relates to what they call the anti-coercion instrument. This is kind of known as the nuclear option, the big bazooka in the European Union's economic toolkit, if I can put it like that. And yes, I've heard the French government reference the use of it. Ireland would have very significant concerns, but I should say this, I think it's highly unlikely at this stage. I've spoken to most of my European counterparts. I'm in very regular contact with the Commission. And my strong sense now is that the majority view by some distance is to take a calm, measured response and to try and get the US to the table. I've no great difficulty with people pointing out from a leverage point of view the various options that are available to Europe, but we'd have very significant concerns about going down that road.
So you're reasonably optimistic in relation to the tech sector. Do you also have an optimistic perspective in relation to pharma?
Well, in relation to pharma, I think we have to be honest here. When I spoke to Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, about 10 days ago or thereabouts now, nearly 2 weeks ago, I mean, he was very clear to me on the phone that the first thing President Trump was going to do was put EU-wide tariffs in place. And then that there were five sectors that the president had indicated he wanted to take measures on. He's already done steel and aluminium. He's already done cars. That's two of them. And pharma, semiconductors and lumber are the other three. So it's my expectation that there could well be further measures in relation to pharma. Now, time is our friend here in one sense. I mean, every day that there aren't tariffs on the pharma industry and you see the impact on the global markets, you'd hope and expect that at some point the laws of economic gravity have to kick in here. And I'm noting even in the United States, strong supporters of President Trump beginning to make indications around the need to pause and to reflect. So I think we've got to keep working at this. The pharma sector is much more interconnected than the US administration likes to acknowledge. And what I mean by that is the US companies that are based in Ireland, they're not based here because they like the weather. They're based here because they have access to a market of over 460 million people. And about 60% of what they're producing in Ireland is for the EU market.
Just can I ask you about the chaos on the financial market? And all the indications are that the markets this morning will open considerably lower. I mean, there's fears about what might happen today. Obviously, nobody wants to see that. But do you think that could have an influence in softening the US's approach, do you think?
I think, quite honestly, the jury is out in relation to that. I think a lot of the guardrails that people thought were in place or hoped were in place haven't been so far. Mm. So in most countries and in most times, if you saw such a significant shock to the markets, like we've seen for quite a sustained period of time now, that would make any politician pause and reflect. We haven't seen that so far in the United States. However, I have noticed quite a few comments over the last couple of days that I think are interesting. You know, President Trump talking about, and the White House talking about, the number of countries reaching out to negotiate. The Commerce Secretary talking about tariffs being in place for days, if not weeks. You know, I think it's a very fluid situation, but there's absolutely no doubt in my mind, no doubt in the mind of this country and this government. The tariffs are bad for not just the European economy, not just the Irish economy. They're going to be bad for the US economy as well. And, you know, it's a very peculiar stance for an administration who got elected saying we're going to help reduce the cost of living to take measures that are going to actually push up the grocery bills.
It is.
And actually push up the cost of living for the average American.
So do you think there is a deal to be done with the US? Do you think that's ultimately where it's going?
Well, there's absolutely a deal to be done in the sense that every disagreement ends in agreement ultimately. The question, the unknown, quite frankly, is whether the United States wants to sit down and cut a deal. If the United States does, they will find a willing partner in relation to the European Union. I mean, this trade relationship matters. It's worth about 1.6 trillion euro a year between the EU and the US. So regardless of your politics, regardless of your ideology, this is not a relationship that can be just sniffed at. It's a relationship that really, really matters on both sides of the Atlantic. And I think, again, what Europe wants to talk about, what Ireland wants to talk about, is how we make trade work better, how we actually engage in more free trade, how, quite frankly, we buy more stuff from each other in our collective interest. That's where we need to get to. But the The imponderable currently is the mindset of the US administration in relation to those negotiations. And what we need to consider at our meeting in Luxembourg today is what leverage we have at our disposal to try and focus the minds here in terms of the importance of sitting down and finding a way forward.
Now, you are meeting Harold Lutnick on Wednesday. What message will you be bringing to him?
Well, look, I'm grateful to have an opportunity to meet Harold Lutnick. I had a good conversation with him in recent days, and he said, let's follow up with an in-person meeting. The message I'll be bringing to him is what I've just said to you, firstly. The European Union does want to find a way forward here, and I'll be amplifying the message of the EU Trade Commissioner in relation to that. I'll also be trying to use the opportunity to again indicate the two-way economic relationship that exists between Ireland and the United States. And I think this is often overlooked. Yes, there's lots of jobs created in Ireland by US companies. We're very grateful for that. We don't take that for granted. But there's also now 200,000 jobs created in the United States by Irish companies. Those Irish companies invested more than $350 million in the US economy over the course of the last year. So sometimes I think when I hear the US administration talk about Ireland and talk about the relationship between the EU and the US, they're talking about a time gone past. The relationship is much more two-way, much more enduring now.
He thinks we're a tax scam. I think that's the words he used, Tánaiste.
Well, obviously he's completely wrong in relation to that. And again, I mean, this is the point that I make, that there's been huge changes in Ireland in recent years, changes around corporation tax, changes around the EU anti-tax avoidance instrument as well. So there's been lots of measures taken. But what I'd like to know, I suppose, from the US administration is, you know, what surely they see the benefit of having access to the European market. Surely they recognize that when they talk to their companies based here in Ireland, their companies often tell them this is a good country in which to do business. They're making profits. They're sending much of that back to the United States of America in terms of making royalty payments and the likes. And actually about 80% of what the US pharma companies send back to America in terms of products are not finished products. In other words, they go back into American factories and create jobs, and those workers obviously pay tax too. So really this would be an opportunity, I hope, to have an information exchange and indeed to get his most up-to-date thinking on where he sees this going.
And very finally, you spoke about a rainy day. I think we can all agree the rainy day has arrived. Are we looking at an end to big budget giveaways, do you think? Are those days gone for the foreseeable future?
Well, this government was trying to get to a point of getting back into a regular budgetary cycle anyway. I think that is quite important, that there's one annual budget and not an annual budget and separate packages in relation to that. And I think the current situation highlights even more the importance of that. I think there's lots of people out there now, and I meet them right across the country, who want the focus from government now to be on impact and delivery. You know, it's very easy in politics to issue a press release saying we're announcing X billion more for this or Y billion more for that. What the people of Ireland often say to me is, well, where's the impact? Where's the benefit? We've been increasing levels of funding to so many areas, and yet there's still blockages, there's still silos, housing being a real example of that. So we're going to continue to see a situation where we can deliver good budgets. The economy is in a good place. Even the models that we have in relation to tariffs do show our economy holding up all right. But now more than ever, we need to see a return on investment for every euro we pump in to public services. We need to see a real focus now on removing those silos and bureaucratic blockages that are delaying the delivery of vital housing for our people, and also infrastructure and competitiveness, because we've got to keep this country a competitive location. So on Thursday, when I get back from the United States, I'll chair our new cabinet committee on the economy, and my colleague Peter Burke, the Minister for Enterprise, will bring forward proposals to that meeting as to how we can further accelerate commitments to increase competitiveness and productivity in the Irish economy. And I think that's important. It's important for Ireland, and it's also an important message to send out globally in terms of investment at this volatile time.
And that was the Tánaiste Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, Simon Harris, speaking to me just before we came on air.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.